Hi, and welcome to Legend, an action movie podcast. This is episode number one, Predator. This is the introduction. We're doing this right now just to make you hear what the sound of the subsequent episode will be. First episode was recorded with two USB mic that we actually got from a Rock Band kit. That wasn't that great, but we did it anyway because we wanted to hear and see what was the chemistry between me and my co-host Frank. It worked really well. We want to do this for a while and we're having lots of fun. This is the audio you're gonna have. If you find the audio inaudible and you don't like to listen to it, just skip to episode number 3 and you're gonna have the good audio. Only episode number 5 has a little bit of problem. We had some problem with the computers, but it was already recorded, so I'm still gonna put it out there. I hope you're gonna have fun and you're gonna continue to listen to Legends Action Podcast. Thank you very much.
Hi and welcome to Legends, an action movie podcast. Here we discuss action movies, cult, classic, new, old, original, sequels, reboot, remake and more, for better or worst.
Legends, an action movie podcast is presented to you by Legends Action Figures. Please visit legendsactionfigures.com. Your friendly online source for toy and collectibles.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
These discussions will be spoiler filled. Ellen will use an explicit language, so consider yourselves warned. Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hi, I'm your host John D, and today I'm joined by Frank, and we are June 9. The time is 8:30 in the Eastern, and you're listening to episode 1 of Legends. So today we're discussing Predator as our first arc in our new podcast. We'll have contact information at the end. Please send us your feedback so we can update a little bit and have everything you like and discard what you don't like. Today I'm joined by Frank.
Hi guys, this is Frank.
And Predator. So maybe just a quick review of the movie. Could be interesting. We start with Arnold Schwarzenegger who's playing Dirch. So Arnold's like one of our favorites, so we decided to start with a classic.
It's Dutch.
Dutch. Oh, sorry. So we have Dutch in... No, actually the movie doesn't start on Dutch. It starts on a crash of an alien ship.
You see the Earth. It's a big white picture and it's like kind of like meteors stuff coming towards Earth and it's the bit that drops to it.
Kind of unexplained, and people just accept it. It's not the Spider-Man 3 debacle with the old Venom. Yeah, we just happened to get there. So Schwarzenegger goes see his general, and we get the mission, which is supposed to be a quick rescue mission of two diplomats. Anyway, this part of the story, at this point, the story is like kind of pointless. The point is that Dutch is the best, and he needs the best to go rescue those people.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, they don't go in details about what the mission is and, you know, any details about that. It's basically just, you're Arnold, you just go out there and you do your stuff. And Arnold's like, yep, that's who I am and that's what I do.
Kind of interesting to mention that Commando just came out a little bit before and a lot of that translated that movie, I think so. We just switched to the helicopter and everybody's in the chopper, we have music and there's the little exposition scene. Technically where we're presented the cast.
Yeah, we basically greet every member of the team and we get a bit of their personality in this shot. We get to meet the team, that's okay, I guess. You don't get a lot of information, you have to basically judge the people on how they look. Like, you know, the guy with the glasses, he's the nerd, but you need the nerd in your team.
Everybody needs a nerd. So, just a quick run out of the team. So we have Carl Weathers, who plays Dylan, which is kind of an old friend of Arnold, which is played by, like we said before, Carl Weathers, but Apollo Creed. We got Epilda Carrillo, who plays Anna, we're gonna see a little bit later in the movie, not right now though. Bill Duke, who plays Mac, and Jesse Ventura, who plays Blaine. We meet the team, and we land. Everything's going okay, we get to see the gun, expositions of the gun, we got the ridiculous submachine gun, which they actually gave a name in the movie, which I don't remember right now. But
well, it's your basic military automatic fire weapon. I guess I could be corrected on that. I don't have the details actually, but yeah, you see the team get out, and basically you see them in action. They start to track the missing chopper, I think it is. Because yeah, they're looking for the diplomats, but there was already a team that was sent in that got killed or was missing. So yeah, they're looking for the helicopter first, I think.
Yeah, and that's the first plot point where the mission is not what the mission was supposed to be. There was already a team sent and a guy named Upper that Schwarzenegger seems to know from an old mission and really respect. You're kind of in a different situation already. You see that Apollo Creed is not who he seems to be. He changed since the last time we see Arnold. And we get to discover the old team skinned and just hanging through the trees, technically. And that's where the shift happened. That's where the plot twist.
Yeah, you get to really embark on the whole mystery of the Predator. I'd say you, as of now, you really don't have much information about what's going on or who it is. But when you see those body hanging, you know there's something really wrong. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's some shit that can happen. You know, Arnold's gonna get in there and kick some ass.
And that's the point of the movie, I think. So they continue on their mission and finally find a camp, which kind of funny. They're like, we haven't found this place and I don't know so many years. And there's like a road with a truck coming in. So it doesn't seem that tough to get there. But anyway, so they get there, they circle the place and start attacking it. We got some one-liners from Arnold. Just sent.
Throws a knife.
Yeah, he throws a knife and says, stick around. And the next one, I think, is knock knock, something like that. Anyways,
he kicks the door and he's like, knock knock, and I don't know if he shotguns or machine guns them down. It's pretty epic.
Great Arnold stuff. Gotta love the guy. There we see a little bit of exposition. We find Anna, who is not really clear what she does there exactly. I think they rescued her.
Well, actually, they saw the diplomats that were they were getting killed as they get there, and they basically go nuts and kill every bad guy in there. And basically, Anna is the only person left, and I'm guessing because she's a girl and she's, you know, defenseless at that point. They keep her with them. It's Apollo Creed. I don't remember his name in the movie. He's the one I think that wants to keep her around, and Dutch just goes, you know, yeah. If you take her with you, you got to take responsibility for her and everything. And she just tags along.
Yeah, it's payload, really. And at that point, she only speak, I think, Spanish or...
It's probably Spanish.
Anyway, they come. They're in Valverde that we checked out. Quick information you can find on the internet is like a Cuba for filmmakers, so they don't have to deal with politics, technically.
It's a fictive nation, actually. You can do basically anything you want in it, because it doesn't exist.
Let's kill some Valverdean. Nobody cares. So I think that's the point. We all need Stormtrooper at this point. They start in the jungle, get the extract point, and that's when the hunt begins. And we see the first introduction to the Predator, which is actually a thermal shot, where we see through the eyes of the beast, I would say.
It's a tricked out thermal shot. It's not a real thermal shot. I mean, you see it on screen. It doesn't look like anything. We know what thermal shot looks like right now in 2010. I guess maybe it wasn't so back then, but it's an interesting trick. And yeah, we get to have a glimpse of what the Predator sees.
Kind of interesting to see that you don't see anything, but
yeah, it doesn't seem to be very worthwhile as a hunting tool, but I don't know, he's pretty badass.
Let's face it, he is. And then the next thing you see a little bit of is stealth mode when you get his first kill, if I'm not mistaken. The geek guy is the first to go, and I was really surprised because everything was leading for... I think the guy is Mac, which goes crazy a little bit later in the movie, but no, the geek gets it.
Yeah, the geek guy gets it. I guess that's why they were screwed from the start.
Probably. So the girl says she hasn't seen anything. It's the season. It's jungles. that came alive and just took him out.
Yeah, she's still talking Spanish at that point, and basically they try to reason her, and she's acting all crazy and stuff. But yeah, they don't get much out of her.
And then one of my favorite parts of the movie. Hey, we have a problem. Let's just separate. Let's go, everybody goes their own way. Let's just see if one by one we can get killed.
Come on, they gotta cover more ground or something.
Yeah, but it's like going up the stairs in the horror movies. You know, the first reflex you have, go up. Yeah, you're gonna be trapped there.
Hey, don't mess with Arnold's strategies.
Oh, no, you don't.
He's governor now. That's gotta work somewhere.
And then we have Jesse Ventura, who gives his last stand and just dies of two shot that you don't see coming from nowhere. It's like two plasma gun, I think was supposed to be.
I don't know, but it makes a mess out of him.
Yeah, anyway, all his guts is over the place, and he has his big gun on the ground, and we see Max take the gun, and then they start shooting. And one after the other, they're just coming out.
Now this is just awesome. They hear this guy screaming, and he starts shooting, and basically they just come all running with their guns blazing, and they just shoot and shoot and shoot, and then they reload, and they keep on shooting us.
Do they reload?
Yeah, they do reload.
They do reload.
They do reload, and it's basically just cut down the jungle in front of them. You only see trees, and they keep shooting. That's
and all in the same direction, in the same spot, for like a good 30 to 45.
I think it's about a minute 30 or 2 minutes, but it's a lot about it. And basically, they're just spraying the jungle right now.
Oh, and we did check for the gun, and it's like quite impossible that there's so many rounds in
the. Oh yeah, the minigun is just absurd. Literally walking about 10 miles or so in the movie, and that gun is just so heavy, and with the ammo that you're carrying, and you know, it needs a battery and stuff. And those guys are badass.
Those guys are badass. Movie badass, not real badass.
No.
And that's where we see the first glimpse of the green blood of the Predator.
And I think you get a shot actually of its camouflage in there, a pretty good shot. You get star-blind camouflage, it's bands of jungle that are just intertwined, so it does look like camouflage, but you're able to get a pretty good shot for a movie, I guess.
And surprisingly enough, it still looks good, even today.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, I guess.
We watched a two-disc DVD version. I don't know if they redid some special effect or just the original stuff. Did you check out?
No. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Anyway.
I'm not the special features guy.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, for some reason, that's not a movie I own. There's like a nice box set with the aliens in it, which probably is going to be when we start doing that arc at some point. I'm going to buy it. We continue, and then they decide to mine the Terran. They start going like all stealthy, and then they drop their shirt and start working like crazy, dropping trees, making sounds.
Yeah, well, basically at the montage, I guess, they need to camp out for the night or something, and it's like mine out the place and put up traps and tripwire and stuff. You gotta show their skill. I mean, those guys are supposed to be, you know, commando teams or whatever, so it goes well with the movie.
For that, it goes well with the movie. They start to panic a little bit because the body of Jesse Ventura's get.
Actually, the way the scene goes down is there. I think the mine goes up or something, and Mac, I think it is, which is basically going insane since his body are getting killed. He just goes wild and he goes to attack whatever is breaching his pyramid. The pyramid. Anyways, he just goes crazy and he attacks whatever and he kills a big pig and he gets jeers him for that. And while they're doing that, the Predator, unseen in the movie, goes and fetches the body, you know, because it's his trophy. That's how the scene goes down.
And that's when Arnold gets the great revelation. He's using the tree.
They start to figure out the mind of the Predator at that point.
At the same point, the girl starts. Actually, I think it's Arnold roughs up the girl a little bit and she just starts speaking English.
Well, since they got attacked, they're a bit on the edge and they try to get more information out of her. They just try to speak Spanish, and like Arnold is just tired of it. He's like,
"Yo, I'm Arnold, speak English now."
And she does. That's just his power.
The power of Arnold. And then we get the actual montage piece of the trap and everything. The girl gives us a little bit of mystic blah blah about jungle coming alive and the spirit of the jungle.
Yeah, she talks about, you know, how she legitimizes it all. I mean, she says it's something that's happened, you know, or grandma talked to her about it or something. She's there to, you know, make it legit.
And then Apollo gets impatient and Arnold goes out there in the middle of his own trap. And, okay, isn't that a little bit weird? You think nobody can go there, but Arnold can, because he's Arnold. Then the Predator gets on them, use the traps against them, kill a couple. Mac goes crazy and just starts running to get the Predator, I think, by himself. There's only Arnold, Apollo, and the girl left.
Yeah.
No, the Indian is still with them.
The Indian's still with them. Mac is still with them. They basically keep trying to get back to the copter at that point. I don't remember exactly how it goes down. You know, they get tracked by the Predator and they just go. The Indian guy is like, he stops at one point and he's like, "Oh, I feel something. He's watching us from the trees." And
oh, yeah, he's on the bridge, in the middle of a bridge.
No, that's a bit later. He just stops in the clearing at point. And he's like, "Ah, oh, something in the trees." And Mac goes off and, you know,
Apollo goes
after him, yeah, and basically Arnold, girl, and the Indian try going another way. They're trying to get to the chopper. I don't know. I think they're trying to flank him or something like that. Apollo runs. He gets like to some cliff or an hanging or something like that, and he's just looking around, and he gets pulled in by Mac, hiding there, and he's like, "Trees, look out there, the trees!" And we see the Predator.
Without camouflage.
Yeah, he takes off his camouflage. I think he's adjusting his blade or doing some setting on his arms. And they basically cook up a plan to try to attack the Predator, which is a great idea, I guess. They have this great idea of, you know, going one way and the other goes the other way and we'll take it from behind or something like that. But they don't know what they're messing with, basically.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Mac gets his head blown off by one of these plasma blasts.
Yeah, he gets one in the head. Headshot!
And Apollo gets to get back in the ring one-on-one.
Well, he basically goes somewhat nuts in him as well, and a second machine gun, so he just goes out there and he's like, he's got one machine gun in each hand, and he's looking pretty badass, I mean. But he doesn't know where the Predator is, and the Predator just takes out one of his arm, and it just flops to the ground, which is pretty gruesome. Apollo is a tough guy, so he just keeps on shooting, but you know, it's futile. You can't mess with that guy.
No, with the arm on the floor and the still trying to shoot. No,
he's a soldier. I mean, he wears a tie in the start of the movie, but he's still got the soldier spirit.
And that's his demise. So we can go back to Arnold for good. We still have Arnold, Anna, and the Indian.
Yeah, Billy, I think, is his name.
Billy is his name. Then we get to the cliff, and Billy stops.
Yeah, it's like a big wooden log that serves as a bridge, and you pass across it. This Billy guy is like so badass. He just drops his gun, he drops his clothes, his armor, and he just keeps this huge knife, which then uses to draw his blood across his chest to lure the Predator, I guess. And Arnold's there with the girl, and they're trying to get him to come with him, and they know there's nothing to do. He will just face that guy, and I'd say it's about 10 or 15 seconds later. I didn't time it, but you just hear him die. I mean, for all the badassness that guy is supposed to have, I mean, there's nothing you can do against the Predator. And at that point,
yeah, that scream is pretty tough for itself.
Yeah, Arnold and the girl just were running for their lives to the copter.
And I think they still have like Poncho with them, who's getting killed in between.
He just got hurt, I think. We skipped over that part, but in the traps that they made, I think he gets hit one with a trip clog or something like that. And he's like wounded, but he can still hop around. So
they try to save him.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, I think Arnold sends him with the girl to get to the copter, and like Arnold is going to take on the Predator on himself.
So he sends the girl to the helicopter, and she tries to grab a gun, and he makes sure she doesn't. So we get the element that the Predator is a hunter. And it goes to the better prey and not the helpless people.
The Predator is there not to hunt, you know, just a normal human. I mean, he's such a badass that, you know, going from planet to planet, hunting the highest predator form on the planet. He won't take out this girl that doesn't have a weapon. You know, she's harmless. So there's no honor in that for the Predator.
Yeah, and it's a cool thing that they build upon for the next sequels and all the other stuff, because let's face it, there's like comic books, there's books. People went crazy with this character, which was really odd there for that. You had like a monster that is tech based, which was rare.
And it's a pretty cool design. I mean, it does what it does. It's not meant to look friendly. And yeah, I like how they build the character. I mean, everything is not given easy. There's not much talking done. There's not much explaining. And you just make your own take on it, I guess. That's how I always feel it. You know, you don't get a lot of explanation about the character backgrounds. We don't know a lot about Dutch, but there's a lot that's implied. I think that fits the movie pretty well.
Yeah, it does. Interesting to remember that Arnold ordered a rewrite of that movie, because it was only him and the Beast, and he wanted like a team around him, which I think worked great. Then we continue, so Dutch just jump in the water, and there's a waterfall, and he falls, and the stuntman falls.
Well, actually, he goes on his own to try and protect the guy, I think, was Pancho and Anna. They're going off their own way, and he's like, I'll track the Beast while you run. And he gets to this cliff, he jumps in the pool, and you can see this horrible shot. You know, it's clearly a different camera, it's clearly a different actor. When he comes out of the water, it's clearly not the same place he was dropping out of after. But we get a great element here. It's a plot point, actually. It's when Arnold drags himself panting out of the water. You know, he's very tired because he's been running, and the fall was pretty hard on him, so he's just dragging himself out of the lake, and he gets all this I would say mud, but it's probably more like clay or something like that. The Predator falls after him, and you can see that Arnold is in no shape to run at that point, and the Predator just comes out of water, and Arnold is covering this clay, and the Predator, with his thermal vision, doesn't see Arnold Dutch at that point.
As we know from Bitbusters.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't work. I mean, you'd warm up the mud, but I'll take it that maybe it's not exactly a thermal camera, or it's a technology that's different than us. I mean, I want to believe that Arnold outsmarted that alien. But yeah, anyways, the Predator just doesn't see Arnold, and he goes his merry way, and you have this great light bulb moment for Arnold, where he figures out a way that he can maybe take out this creature.
Oh, I give it to you that it's interesting plot point and everything, but let's face it, you cannot give that to an audience today.
We're harder to impress nowadays, and you know, when I was a kid, when I first saw this movie, I mean, it made perfect sense. I didn't question it, but the different mind right now. I've seen more stuff in movies, and I mean,
you're right. We've seen Whiplash and Iron Man cut a car, but not cut Iron Man, and for some reason, like, most people accept it. We're still there.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah, so let's come back to our first topic.
Yeah.
So we get Arnold, who has his little, say, Apocalypse Now moment, where he's in the shadow of the night and preparing his trap. We don't really see him, he's always covered in mud.
Well, it's just him and his knife and, you know, sticks, and he's sharpening them, and he's making trap and bending wood, and somehow he's got, you know, rope, I guess, or it's vines or stuff, and he's just making all these traps and running a course of traps for the Predator, and he wants to lead him to there and, you know, basically kill him. And there's another montage, actually, there.
Yeah, and I think they cheat a bit, because in that montage, they show you, like, one or two particular trap, but they don't see you one that we're going to talk a little bit later. Because at the end of the movie, the way they activate the trap, there's one I haven't seen him built, which is, like, a key element.
Well, it's basically ridiculous. I mean, you couldn't build all that stuff in, you know, a few hours. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're in the montage. So
yeah,
everything rolls. I mean, you don't get to see everything, but you know he does a lot of stuff. So
Ewok syndrome.
You got to believe in the montage.
So you get Arnold and we get to the final showdown.
Yeah,
and it would be pointless to just recap it, the whole thing, but we have a guy in a 200-pound suit trying to battle Arnold, which is kind of special the way it... They have edited it really well with what they add, but let's face it, the guy cannot move that well, and...
The stuntman for the Predator would probably, you know, a beefy guy, but what we've been able to see is that suit was actually 200 pounds, and I can't imagine him being able to, you know, run or anything like that. I've seen that they actually used a bungee cord to make him move that, you know, I won't say fast, but at least fluid, you know. It doesn't look that bad when you see the movie. Of course, you don't see him move all that much either.
Yeah, no, that's true. The camera on that, John McTiernan, who directed the movie, who also directed Die Hard 1 and Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance, actually well shot that movie on that point, because the way you see the beast, the way you see it move, you believe it's agile, it's fluid, it's moving fast, it can do all those things, but it really can't.
Yeah, and you get all those, I'd say, techno weird sound when you're in the Predator viewing that stuff, and when he moves around. And I guess it adds to the feeling as well. I guess they use the other senses to give the impression that this beast is really agile and, you know, stuff like that.
The sound effect gets you in the mood of this is out of this world. This is not the sound of the jungle, the sound that you've heard around Arnold and his team, which ground you really in that reality, the reality that you know when you go in the woods, where you, what you expect to hear in the jungle. You don't expect to hear those sound anywhere, so you already have that sense of out of this world. The suit may not sell you, but that's a great suit.
No, it's a pretty great suit. I think they got it down pretty great. I don't know if they use, you know, special techniques to film it or whatever, but I'd say it looks pretty badass. I mean, what the Predator finally takes off its mask. I mean, it looks race, I'd say. But you know, coming back to the ambience, I mean, we're talking about the music. I like how all the sounds are very jarring and the music is used sparingly, but when it's there, it's absolutely... It's harsh. I mean, it's not easygoing music. It's very hard music. I mean, it's always... grabs the attention, and I mean, I like that stuff.
Well, it's been scored by Alan Silvestri, who also scored Back to the Future in 1985. Make me remember of. I thought I have to check this. This is the same guy from Back to the Future, and he has a great way to take a scene where you have a build up, which we don't have anymore since the Matrix build ups are over. We need to cut. But in those years, build-up is really important, almost as important as the action, because it makes you think that this character could do it, and not just, he's gonna do it, where are the movie? He has a way to build intention with his movie that I think is really interesting. Back to the Future is just a guy shifting, and you get that, you're getting in there, you feel the speed in the music, and that movie, I think, feels the tension through the same kinds of techniques in the scoring.
Yeah, I think it underlines as well the pace of the movie, which might not seem like it because we were talking about mostly the action scenes and the beat like that. But the pacing of the movie is actually pretty slow, and I mean, it takes a while for stuff to get down. But once you get to the first few kills, actually once you get to the first village, actually, where they find the diplomat, the movie really gets more of that action beat. But before it's, I don't know, I felt it... It came together really well, and I think it, with the music, all of that gathered together, it gave you know, the movie a perfect length. Well, I wouldn't say perfect, but a great length, I'd say. And
yeah, and it's only like 103 minutes, I think, which is like a little bit over the 90-minute standard Hollywood action movie boundaries, I would say. They gave it the time to kind of develop some characters.
I guess they did, but. I think it could be an exercise. I mean, I could probably be done, you know, cutting some minutes out of that movie. What really matters, I don't know if there's a director cut or something like that. I'm not sure of that.
They're probably gonna find at some point some cut footage with Arnold on the beach smoking another cigar or something like that. They always find something.
Yeah, you know, more shots of him, you know, shirtless and all oiled up and tan and I don't know, pulling on a rope or something.
Go figure, they still find footage from Star Wars, which since they sell us every 2-3 years, I'm surprised, but whatever.
Yeah, Predator doesn't have the following of Star Wars yet.
Thank God. And Arnold outsmart the Predator. Oh, before we get the revealing of the face of the Predator.
Yeah, basically, they run around a while and Arnold, you know, passes underneath this root or something like that, and he's hoping the Predator will pass underneath it. Predator just sees the spike or something like that, and he just goes around.
Outsmart Arnold.
Yeah, Arnold's pretty freaked at that time, but there's actually a hanging log or something like that I think he uses to drop on the Predator, and they just fight from there, and the Predator pins Arnold to a tree with his arm, and
oh, I think he shoots him. He shoots him with the same weapon that kills everybody.
Yeah, it shoots him, and it seems to splash over Arnold. It doesn't do any damage. He looks like he's burned, but there's not much damage. I mean, where guys exploded, you know.
He's the governor.
Yeah, he's bulletproof or something.
Go figure. So, and we get the Predator. Arnold asks him something in English, like, "Who are you?" The Predator repeats.
Yeah, because all through the movie, you know, you get samples of the Predator speaking, and it's always, he always says something that you hear the humans say.
That's the first race of that trend for the future movie as well.
I wouldn't remember. It's a while since I've seen the second one, and I haven't seen the AVPs yet. But yeah, he just says the same thing that he hears, and that makes for great conversation, actually.
And then he set up the bomb, which in my memory, we've seen it like 2-3 days ago. I haven't seen the movies in like a couple of years, and I remember that Arnold died, and he did not. He survived the nuclear explosion that the Predator gave him at the end.
It's not specified if it's a nuclear. I mean, the mushroom is there, but it's you're guessing with the alien technology right now. I mean, it's hard to tell. I don't know. You know, it's Arnold. He's practiced those explosion jumps a lot, so I'm guessing he's pretty good at them.
Go, Arnold!
And, you know, if he's able to just absorb this this alien blast, maybe he's able to absorb the explosion blast as well. So anyways, you get a shot of Arnold, and he's looking pretty beat up at that time. The chopper actually gets in there, and you're able to pick him up. And, you know, there's Pancho there, and there's the girl, and... Arnold is all in mud, and he's looked like beaten, but you know that he saved the day.
Arnold's always saved the day. Or almost.
Well, he's the bad guy in a few of movies. Terminator!
Oh, that's true. Only the first one, though. No, the fourth one as well.
Let's not speak of that.
That's another series as well.
There's so much stuff to talk before that movie, so let's keep on.
Let's keep on. And so this is the send-off of the movie.
Pretty much, yeah. We get credits at that point.
Here the credit. And we're not at the point where we have like special stuff at the end of the credit, like now that you have to stay until the end of a movie when they actually start to get popcorn out of the floor to make sure that you have to watch all of the movies. But
well, what more would you want at that point?
I don't know. I think it's enough.
I think, you know... The only thing that's missing from the movie, I mean, Arnold doesn't get the girl at the end, so that's the thing that's missing. I mean, there's this girl that's there in the movie, and I mean, yeah, I mean, she's there. They put them in there. She's the only girl in the movie. She's got some kind of role. I mean, she's there bringing a local flavor, I guess, and she explains a bit about the Predator, and she's somewhat of a witness, and there's this stint where, you know... Arnold tries to give her a gun, and he just, oh no, if you give her a gun, the Predator will kill her. So she serves a bit of exposition, but beyond that...
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, she's there to be saved. She's like a princess.
Lots of that in the 80s, let's face it. Lots of damsel in distress and not... But that's not true. Alien came with a pretty strong female character for a sci-fi slash horror genre movie. There could have been something more.
That wasn't to be in that movie, I think. So yeah, it's hard. I mean, when you see all those guys, I mean, it's a pretty macho movie. I don't think at that point, you know, they could have done it as easily as they're doing it right now with the new Predator movie. I think they're bringing Zoe Saldana in there, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, they have Adrian Brody in the new one. Yeah.
I think we're at our point we can take it back in Predator Day. It didn't fit the movie at all. You wouldn't have that girl, you know, that would have been the SWAT and at the past that Dutch and all these guys had. It wasn't there yet. I mean, we hadn't seen G.I. Jane at that point.
No.
I still haven't seen it, actually.
Yeah, that's not going to happen on this podcast. But hey, maybe at some point Viggo Mortensen, Lord of the Ring, but no G.I. Jane. So like I said before, we did like the usual research. It's not anything that you can't find by yourself, but interesting thing that... So that the idea of the movie was based on the fact that Rocky IV just came out. Someone said as a joke that the last thing that Rocky could beat is something extraterrestrial. So they want to write Predator, which was the first idea. Of course, it spins into something else, and now we have this great Arnold movie where Arnold has to have team at the start of the movie. Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be the Predator at some point.
He was supposed to be the Predator, but it was an issue where we wouldn't see his face, so that didn't work out for him.
No, and there's Jesse Ventura that came out in his autobiography a couple of years later saying that he actually hurt one of the stuntmen on the movie, so that's why he was fired, but... That's never been an official thing.
Yeah, he's just trying to mess around, trying to get some more, some more minutes of fame. But that's okay. I mean, he's a wrestler. I mean, that's part of his stick, you know.
Yeah, look.
He's a politician as well, so double dab for that.
Double dab. Oh, my God. Arnold with another politician on the screen. Who would have thought at the time? I think that's one of my favorite jokes in, what is it, Demolition Man? When they say that Arnold is the president.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a Stallone movie, so when you know their friend, it's kind of funny there.
But anyways, I think the movie would have a completely different flavor with Stallone. I mean, he doesn't... I mean, they were the big guys, the action guys in the 80s, but I don't see the movie going as smoothly as it did with Arnold as it would with Stallone. It's another style completely. Pretty glad it was Arnold, actually. And the fact that he asked for a rewrite and getting a team, I think it fleshed out the movie a bit. I can't imagine it being all that interesting if it was Arnold all alone in the jungle.
You're absolutely right. At some point, you need a little bit of relationship with the characters, so it's a little bit more interesting and more intricate. If you have the guy alone, in this jungle, you get cast away all over again. And as much as people can say, I may get catch crap for that, but Cast Away was really bad. There was like a good 15 minutes at the start and maybe a good 10 minutes at the end, but the old part on the island, it's guy alone for like an hour and a half. So
yeah, I don't know what name is gone, and it's Lee
Wilson. Yeah, it's like James Bond, Walter.
Yeah, that's the gun's name, but I don't know. They do actually name the minigun in the movie, actually. They call it All Painless, so...
Oh, yeah, men's and stuff. We name boats. We used to call them she.
Yeah, I think it's still custom, actually.
It's here you go. So we like these things, and how many people just love their cars and give them names too.
There's actually an interesting quote actually used as well from Jesse Ventura at the start of the film, where they're in the helicopter, they're just talking about each other, and you get this little bits of information, and Jesse Ventura is chewing on tobacco, and he's offering it to everybody, and no one wants it, and he goes, "You bunch of pussies, this shit will make you a sexual Tyrannosaurus." And it's just so badass. I mean, the guy has like this cowboy hat, this freaking sergeant mustache. He's chewing tobacco and it's...
Yeah, pretty macho for the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that guy is like, he goes to the toilet and he pisses pure testosterone.
That's funny in that scene at the start. You know, they're listening to the music in the chopper. There's no tape in the... tape deck they have in the back of them.
I'm guessing it's a Valverde radio or yeah, something. They listen to old time rock and roll there all the time.
Why not, you know? When you think about it, it's kind of funny. It's a little bit of the same setting you had in Rambo 4. That movie could have been Valverde instead of Bermany, or was it in Bermany? think so.
Yeah, I think it's Germany, but yeah, I guess you could draw a lot of comparisons to Rambo 4.
That's for another time.
Yeah, I think we got to leave that one for another time. I mean, it's definitely in the same vein, and it's worth its own podcast, I think.
Yeah, but in those times, you had action heroes. You had those actors where it's not like today. Today, you have Lindsay Lohan, and they build a movie around Lindsay Lohan, or you have like Megan Fox, and they build a movie around Megan Fox. In those times, it was the bigger your arm was, the bigger the movie.
Well, you're talking about girls right now, but how about some big male action stars? I mean, what have we got right now? We've got Will Smith.
Biggest grossing actor ever.
Yeah, but is he a big action star? I don't know. I mean, of course, you know, we've got still
Hancock, Independence
Day. No, I was talking about Bruce Willis, actually. I was just missing his name. He's still doing movies, and I guess he's still kind of that action star, but he doesn't represent the same kind of movies to me. I mean, he didn't do that all very cheesy B action movie styles. I didn't see them. I mean, if he did. So it's not the same thing. I mean, you know, we still got Dolph Lundgren, and I mean, Arnold is doing the Expendables this summer, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. It's a different beat right now. I just don't feel that we've got any very prominent action star right now. I mean, even Vin Diesel to me isn't of that same caliber.
He doesn't have the same charisma that make him an action star. He more has his kind of movie, and let's face it, that guy tried to do different things and came back to the well really fast.
Yeah, those comedy Disney movies
didn't help him a lot. So what did they do? Another Fast and the Furious. What did he do? Another Riddick. But I think Riddick is something like close to his heart, so I'm gonna let that one slip. But what are we getting next year? Another Triple X with him. They let the old Ice Cube tobacco go, and they go back with Diesel. The point is, he's going to sequel, and he's not that guy where you built an action movie like Arnold was in the 80s, or even with Stallone, but Jean-Claude Van Damme did a long streak of bad and bad movie. After Bloodsport, everything went loose with him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he did some very interesting movies. He never topped out like Arnold and Sylvester did.
He stayed in the B-movie section.
He was pretty big for a B-movie actor, I guess, but didn't get in the very big, big leagues, you know.
Yeah, they never passed that cap where where you can live forever as an actor. But probably he will.
He's still working. I mean, he's still putting out some movies, so.
Yeah, that's true. There was a new Universal Soldiers came out with him and Dolph Lundgren not long ago.
There was this movie about his life as well, I think, he came out. It was supposed to be good, but I'm not that interested in his life that I'd want to see a two-hour movie about it. You know, I'd rather just see another Time Cop or something like that, or Universal Soldier.
You would be surprised how many Time Cop there is out there.
Well, how many are there with him?
Three.
It's pretty good.
The second one is with the guy who played Bruce Lee and Dragon, and the third one is like nobody. But this is the new generation of straight to DVD. We just have a franchise and we test this water. But yeah, another Time Cop. That would be good. That would be time to remake this instead of remaking the A-Team with a tank that drops out of the sky. That
I don't know.
If they're rebooting Dredd.
Well, Dredd needs a good movie. I wouldn't say we really need an A-Team movie or another Time Cop movie if they did that many already. To me, those franchises are already exploited. I don't know. There may be more stuff that's interesting in there. I personally like Judge Dredd. I think they did a very bad job on the movie. I think there's an interesting story that can be told there. I don't think this is the kind of movie that everybody should like. I think they should be done in a very specific way, because the Judge Dredd stories are actually, they have an interesting style. I mean, it's not everyday stuff in there. And there's particularities. I mean, you can't be showing Judge Dredd's face.
Yeah, but they needed to show Stallone's face.
You need to find an actor that will be willing, you know, to go all the way without showing his face. It's one of the principles of the character. he's the law, you can't see his face. That's just it.
Yeah, and I agree. The same thing that if they showed the face of V and V for Vendetta, I don't say it's a special movie in my art. It was an okay movie, nothing more. But the fact that you don't see his face was something. And I think James Purfoy was playing the character and he dropped out because of that in the middle of the shooting.
Well, it shows it can be done. It might not be in a great movies, but, you know, the character V and the performance is good. You don't need to see his face. If the voice of the actor is, you know, is great, if he doesn't,
he does the job.
Yeah, basically, if he can act it out, it's believable. I just can't see a dread movie where you see his face and that you're just not supposed to see it, and it's part of the mythos of the character. It's a very strong character, and you just can't throw it away like that.
I can't wait to see the remake of that. Right now, with the caliber of those, I think they touched the comic book movie a little bit more in the last couple of years, even if we still get duds from time to time. For a movie like Dread, if they're really compelled to do it, I think V was a good example. It came of the same comic book, which was
2080
in Britain. So the tone should be the same visually without having the same tone in style.
Well, it's a completely different world, and it's somewhat post-apocalyptic, and there's been nukes and there's mutants and all that stuff. So it's got to be an interesting visually movie. It's got to be interesting. I guess I'd go with something like District 9. I mean, they didn't get a lot of movie, and they managed to do something that was very interesting to watch. I think if you go the same approach, you can do a dread movie that would work visually. I mean, you don't need $200 million, I think, to make that movie.
District 9 is a really good example of how you just need the basic to do a good movie. You need the script, and that's what we got in the movie we watched. There, as weird as it looks, no, it was not a big script, but the good elements were there. And the director knew how to put it down. John McTiernan always knew how to create an action scene. In Predator, it's a good way to show it to you. And in a certain way, if you think about Dyer, that came out a year or 2 years prior to this, you still have the element of you're stuck somewhere.
Yeah, you're stuck in that big building. Yeah.
In that building or in that jungle, and you need to use the elements around you to survive.
It's a confined environment, yeah.
There you go. So, and I think McTiernan did something great with that. You have something else to add on that conversation? Because I think we're tangenting everything everywhere.
Yeah, we're getting off the track right now. I mean, Predator is a great movie. I mean, obviously, it's not big drama or anything like that. But, I mean, you get around with your friends, you watch it, there's guns, there's burly men, you know, getting all the stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a fun ride, and it's not a bad movie. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie, because there are bad movies that are fun, and I think this one is actually pretty good.
So, in the future, we're going to come up with a scale for those movies, which will go like, go see it on the first day on the theater, go see it at the dollar theater, buy it on DVD on the first day, or buy it on DVD when it's at $5, or don't even bother to buy it, just hope one of your friends does. On that scale of 1 to 5, I would say this is a movie that you can buy on DVD if it's cheap.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cheap on Blu-ray as well if you made the switch. I'm pretty sure you can get it for like $15 or something like that. I guess if you got the Blu-ray, I mean, it's worth it to go there. I would definitely buy it in Blu-ray if I didn't already own it on DVD, actually.
If I'm not mistaken, on the Blu-ray, there's a great commentary track by John McTiernan. If you listen to the commentary track on Die Hard 1 and 3, he's a great guy. You're going to learn a lot in this commentary. He's talking about all sorts of technical things. Anyway, if you're a special feature guy, this is one of the commentary track that you want to hear. So this is pretty much wrapping up the first episode of Legends and the first episode of the Predator arc. In the Predator arc, for now, we're going to do Predator 1 and 2. After that, we're probably going to go into some more Arnold movie. We want to start action podcasts with the best action movie there is, as cult as they are. So Arnold is going to be one of our guys for the next couple of weeks. And after that, we're probably at some point going to step into Alien. And when we do Alien, at the end of this, we're probably going to go do EVP as well.
And there'll be the Predator, the new Predator movie coming out. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but
I think it's at the end of the summer. So.
But, I mean, once we go through all those movies, we'll be able to go see it in the movie, and we'll get with your review or something like that.
Yeah, we're actually going to be able to add things like that. Exactly, the new movie, some things you're gonna get like in the later episode, but it's still gonna be in the arc. In long term too, something that's pretty close to my heart that I want to do, you're going to see on the website, you're going to have a special button. This button's going to get you to a section where you're going to get James Bond reviews. Big James Bond fan, big James Bond fan, always finding a reason to watch them again. I think my co-host is a good James Bond fan as well.
Turn me into a James Bond fan. I mean, I like the movies from the 80s, but I never, you know, went the old series. You got me into them. I watch all the movies. I got a bunch of Blu-rays. Actually read most of the books as well, the official ones. So yeah, I'm getting there, but I think you're the more hardcore fan, and I'm guessing you could outgeek me on there pretty badly.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, so we're gonna do those reviews one at a time. We're not getting time frames, so we can do them when we have the time to do them right. Do them a little bit more thorough maybe than those, so you're gonna get them one at a time, like I said. I hope you like their first effort over there. Send us feedback. We have an email address, which is legends.podcast@hotmail.com. legends.podcast@hotmail.com. We got a Twitter feed, which is Legend Podcast in one word. You can find us on the web to legendsactionfigure.com. You're gonna find our link on that page. They're great. They're the guys who actually make this possible, that put that on the web, because we wanted to record, we didn't wanted to do a website that goes with it. They're the one that are doing it. They're our first sponsors, and thanks them a lot. So go there, look at the collectibles we have there. You can find great deals. From time to time, you're gonna get Tori's review as well, with maybe a different co-host that's gonna rotate. You're gonna see
The Beast,
exactly, to review toys. So we're collectibles geek and fans as well. It was episode 1 of Legends Podcast. Today we were discussing Predator. So, and I say bye. And Frank, any last word?
This is Frank signing out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. And I hope we see you next week for Predator 2 with Sergeant Murtaugh.
This has been episode number 1 of Legends. We are your host, Frank and John D. We remind you to visit legendsactionfigures.com for a new weekly episode and other special episodes of Legends, an action movie podcast.